Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This half hour, we're joined by the chief economist for the Economic Policy Institute, Dr. Josh Bivens. You can check out all the work by EPI at epi.org. Just before the break, I asked you a big, huge, natty question and then said, you got 30 seconds to answer. But to just bring folks up to speed, if you're just joining us, my question was this. In our democracy, where since 1976 and certainly since Citizens United, money has grown an influence over politics. Some would argue it has been an incredibly corrupting influence. One of the reasons we have an independent Federal Reserve is to prevent politicians with, I would say, some near-term political cycle incentives from effectively using the Fed to service their own interests. And if you follow my logic here, if big money donors are the ones that are basically picking and choosing our politicians, I would argue, especially on one side of the party ledger, and we lose the independence of the Fed, well, that then means that the Fed isn't working to ensure an economy that works for the vast majority of us, but rather an economy that works for only the ultra wealthy and mega corporations. You're explaining that that was exactly the problem and one of the reasons for the existence of a Fed, a public servant that is trying to look out for the macroeconomic best interests of all of us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the history of the Fed, the reason why it was founded was because it used to be the case that during really bad economic crises, which happened much more often back in the 1800s, crazy boom bust cycle, when it went down, basically, if you were a Main Street firm or a worker and you were just hoping for some like credit to help the business go along and limp through the financial catastrophe, it basically came down to, did JP Morgan, the person, not the bank, want that business to go on or not? And if he did, it went on. If he didn't, it didn't go on. And that's just obviously not the optimal way to decide like how crises should be managed in the U.S. economy. And so that's how the Fed was originally created. And since then, I think you're right, like it's become this central part of the U.S. economy that takes on this very important job of toggling like unemployment and inflation and trying to make sure both stay as low as they possibly can be, even as they start to trade off against each other. And I would say it's even gotten a little better than that in the sense of like, not only has it been mostly resistant to like party or almost totally resistant to partisan capture since the Nixon era anyway, the structure of the Fed does give the financial sector a bit too much power. They've got the ability to decide on the regional Federal Reserves, who goes on those boards of directors. But I would say in the past 15 years, there's been this incredibly admirable move to sort of name that and recognize it. And I think the Fed has actually behaved in ways that really have prioritized sort of typical working people over the interests of finance a lot in the past 15 years. They are actually a pretty open institute that listens to criticism and takes on evidence-based arguments. And they don't always go the exact way I want them to go. I think they make mistakes, but it is not just sort of a consistent bias towards the powerful. It is just I think at this point become a very good faith evidence-based institution trying to do its best. And that's really rare these days in US government. And so anything that threatens to corrupt that, especially given the importance of what they do, would be really catastrophic.
Yeah, if you think it's bad now, and that happens, whoa, Nelly. And what I can only call ironic at the least, completely two-faced and ridiculous at the worst, Donald Trump said today about Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, quote, he's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. Donald Trump, of course, appointed Jerome Powell. Okay, setting that aside, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, which is headline news on EPI's website, again, that's epi.org, is that the costs of the newly expanded budget for deportations and the hundreds of billions of dollars is going to actually end up costing U.S. citizens jobs. Explain, if you would, Dr. Bivens.
Yeah, so my colleague Ben Zipperer has done a really impressive report looking at evidence from previous instances of really ramped up immigration enforcement. Basically what happened as it was rolled out in various communities to employment in those places where this enhanced immigration enforcement was rolled out. And you see a predictable like decline in population as immigrants are deported. But it has profound employment impacts, and they're not just on the immigrants who are deported. And so he finds that if we do 1 million deportations every year for the next 4 years, which is the Trump administration goal, we end up with 6 million fewer jobs in the U.S. economy. 2.5 million of those losses are actually U.S. born workers.
Shocking numbers. 2.5 million fewer jobs, 6 million fewer, 2.5 million fewer jobs for U.S. born workers, 6 million fewer jobs. Again, this is going to have incredible ripple effects across the economy. And if you will, and if you would allow me, the Bermuda Triangle of terrible, no good, very bad economic policy, politicizing the Fed, completely uncertain tariff environment and inflationary environment based on that tariff pressure, plus a massive reduction in the U.S. workforce. Folks, that does not look good for any of us. We've got just about 30 seconds left. Dr. Bivens, address Wisconsinites. Why should Wisconsinites care about an independent Fed and a vibrant and vibrant labor force in the U.S. economy?
In terms of the Fed, I think the last 4 years are the best example. Like, we had all this inflationary pressure that came from the pandemic, but we got through it really quickly. And we got through it mostly because people believed that the Fed would not let inflation run out of control. That belief was based on the independence of the Fed. If that's gone, future episodes of inflation are going to be much harder to pull back down and last much longer.
If you thought it's been bad, it will only get worse without an independent Fed. Thank you, Dr. Bivens. Come back with me and Dr. Lyerly to talk about the impacts of the big, brutal bill, especially on women. What are your concerns? We discuss next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.